You're listening to Marriage Takeover with Eric and Tamika Thompson, helping to enrich your marriage.
Tamika.
It's your boy E-Rock, Nim.
Hey, and we have been married for 22 years.
Deuce, deuce.
And we keep it real.
We keep it raw.
And we keep it uncut.
All day.
This is Marriage Takeover.
Yep.
So we bring to you practical resources and information tools to help you to keep a fresh marriage with biblical principles.
Yes.
So if you are tuning in for the first time, thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you.
If you are joining us because you have been a part of the tribe of Marriage Takeover since we started or just along the way, thank you so much.
We honor you.
We do honor you. So we're going to get started with prayer first. And
yes, we do.
Then we'll get started into our second.
Father in heaven, Lord God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you, God. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise, Father.
Yes,
God. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this hour, God. We ask that you just let your will be done, Father. You continue to have your way. God, we ask now in the name of Jesus, God, that you just take control, Father God. Lead, God, direct now in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And God, we ask that you just continue, God, to just let your will be done. Continue to let your light shine, oh God. And Father, we thank you. We bless you right now, God. Let your anointing fall fresh. And we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So it is February. It's Love Month. So
love me.
How do you build a loving marriage?
How do you build a loving marriage?
That's our topic on today.
How you build that thing?
And join in on the conversation. We want to hear your chats below. Let's just dive in.
Let's get into this thing.
So how do you build a loving marriage?
How do you build a loving marriage?
I think that it comes and it has several different components.
Has several different components. Just keep in mind, this is my component.
I do not need an amen choir.
Hallelujah! Yes! Preach now. Go ahead.
So some of the key components that I think are essential and they're very critical for you having a loving marriage and to building that loving marriage is a love, respect,
yes,
honor, and then establishing boundaries.
Did you say establishing boundaries?
I did.
My word. Letter
so boundaries. Word. So I think that those are some of the most critical components when it comes to building, you know, a loving marriage.
Yes.
Right? So you could be married and it could be a lot of hell going on. It could be a whole lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
We just wrapped up the segment on the marriage vow. So if you haven't heard that, go back and take a listen.
Go check it out.
One of the things that I think when you have love, right? So when
let's start with one. Let's go ahead. Let's bring that thing. We're going to start with love.
Yeah.
But how, right? How can I build a loving marriage when my definition of love is different from yours?
That's good.
So.
Here's the thing though, right? Because remember we have biblical principles. And what we do, since your vision and your view of love may be one thing, my view of love may be another, let's go to what the scripture says love is.
With love have I drawn thee. If I be lifted up, says the Lord, he'll draw men. Love covers
a multitude of sin.
So I think we're supposed to take a pause here to let her go to Google search.
Well, you don't have a scripture reference, Pastor.
Wait a minute. Don't be calling me out my business. Well, you ain't got one, Pastor. But when you look at it, if I don't know what love is.
So here we go.
Hold on one second. You just asked why I ain't got scripture reference.
Go ahead. Come on.
He said, when you look at it, for one, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's St. John 3:16. So when you look at it, what is love? Love is willing to make the sacrifice or either put yourself or to put your wants after someone else, or put your needs after someone else's needs.
And
that's one definition.
That's one definition. And so there are a couple of different scripture references that I'm going to...
Baby, don't hurt me. No more. Go ahead.
So if you are tuning in for the first time, I always feel like I have to put this disclaimer out there. My husband is a nutcase.
Listen, I am not a nutcase. Y'all better stop saying that about me.
Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 says, love is patient. And this is the English Standard Version.
Read it, baby.
It says that love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way.
Mm-hmm.
It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth.
Right.
Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Amen.
Love never ends.
Nope.
As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease.
Mm.
As for knowledge, it will pass away.
Mm.
One of the things that I wanted to, or a couple of things that I wanted to identify in this scripture reference. So if you don't know what love is, or you have a skewed version of love, or if you're trying to identify what love is patient and love is kind. Right?
Right. I'm with you.
It's not envious and it doesn't boast.
Come on now. You ain't got to tell everybody to
it's
be mad at.
It's not arrogant.
Mm-mm.
And it's not rude.
You got to act all stuck
so
up.
So those are some of the foundations of what that love is. That means that if I am coming or if I am, I mean, the simple things that we, I think sometimes can get out of hand just in a house or in a marriage. You come in and the living room is a mess because you just coming home. And hats off to all the ladies. I am saluting every lady who is still having to work during COVID right now. Salute you. And you know the husband is home taking care of the family and the kids because you're out working because your job calls for you to be essential personnel.
But so when not you just come, a, come on now, you got the firefighters.
It's not just the ladies.
That sounds so sexist. I can't believe this.
It's not so much sexist.
We're trying
we're building a loving marriage. I've seen, and if you're honest and you get out your feelings for a second.
What are you talking about?
There are a lot of the comments when we were doing kitchen conversations and when we're doing our posts where the ladies, because they're in the medical field, they're still going out and they're working. So not
yes,
that
they are. And their husband was home working from home.
Right, to work from home. I'm not trying to throw shade at you, brothers. Not at all.
I got y'all, Slim, for all my firefighters and police officers. Yeah.
Okay. So I digress. Because
we're going to keep it balanced.
What we do is I just wanted to honor that. So when you come home and it's in a pandemic and you have to go out and you working all day and you come in the house because you're coming home from work and the living room is a mess or it's chaos and dinner might not be cooked or you might still have to come home and then still prepare dinner, then one of the things that you have to consider is love is not rude.
Right. Ooh, come on.
Right? So when we're trying to identify, we're trying to break it down to practical realities, this is the reality that we live in each and every day.
Right, yeah.
Or when you are, maybe you're working from home and you have to come out of your home space because now it's time for dinner. You're off from work and it's a mess and you don't have dinner prepared or dinner's not ready and you still have to go and do that. Consider love is not rude.
Come on now.
Love is not irritable.
Ooh. Say that again.
So those are some of the things that I want you to consider as we're breaking this down, again, with the practical realities. Not saying that we're all going to be perfect, right?
Right.
But this is an opportunity to shape and to define what love is if you aren't 100% sure what that love looks like.
Right, right. That's good. You are on a roll. I'm going to sit back and be quiet and let you do your thing.
No, don't do that.
Because, well, you know what? Because even when you have that love, love will also cause you to second think your reaction or your response. And when you're feeling, I guess, bogged down from doing the COVID thing. Because, you know, even if, say if you're home, but your job have you so busy to where you're just locked in the whole entire time.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you know what I'm saying, you're still home. Because, gradually, everybody, patience running thin. You know, every time you knock on the door. If you have kids, knock on the door, mommy, I need help with this schoolwork, or daddy, you know what I'm saying? Because there's so much going on, even though it's coming up on a year, but it's still so much going on to the point where people are still trying to get a foundation.
Right.
Because even with all of this going on, it's like, dang, did you really love me in the beginning? You know what I'm saying? Because now it's literally so much.
So now love bears all things.
Right. It bears all things.
So that's something to consider. Even love is not resentful. So as we, I mean, just with this one scripture. First Corinthians 13, 4 through 8.
Yeah.
So just with this passage of scriptures, we can kind of break down and give you a lot to chew on.
Mm.
So even husbands, if you were laid off during COVID and your wife is still working, this means that love means that you aren't resentful because she's still working.
Man,
you aren't resentful because she still has income coming in,
right?
This is something, or wives, you aren't resentful because your husband is still working and they still have income coming in.
And you know how we are. We transparent riding this thing. But for me, I'm not working doing this couple. I'm not working for the man in this couple.
I was going to say, because you are working.
Let's stop. Let's just chill for a second. Okay. What I'm saying is that I understand when you saying your roles, because, I mean, granted, certain roles have to adjust because love bears all things.
Right.
So
right.
If, okay, you still got to work, I have a little bit more free time, what's wrong with me cooking? It seems like I have become the chef now because, man, I got some knives.
Stop.
I got some, oh, man, I mean, when I say I got some pans.
I'm sorry. Tell the truth. He was always the chef. It was just because he was working and he had other outside priorities. He was not home to cook as much.
But
now that
anyway,
he's home to cook,
and
he has reassumed his role of being the chef.
See, but one thing that I find myself doing, I find myself cleaning more. I find myself, we have a thing that who's ever the last one in the bed has to make it up. So I make sure I'm the first one out of there. But what I'm saying is there are just certain adjustments that we had to make in order to keep a peaceful and a loving marriage. Because it has been blissful for us. We've enjoyed it all. That was because we chose to take that moment to sit down and say, okay, listen, I understand that due to the pandemic and everything that's going on around, is that, okay, I can't do the things that I would like to do. I understand that now we're short of income, so that means we got to make some adjustment.
Right.
So that means we can't go nowhere, so our lifestyle has already changed.
Right.
So I'm not finna hate on you because you still got to go to work, you still got to run. I can't do that because what? Love bears all things. And the one thing that I did for men, I did too have to struggle with myself of saying, oh shoot, I ain't got no money. But then in the beginning, it was never mine. It should have always been ours.
Right, right, right.
But then also at the same time, that's why I thank God for my wife. But also at the same time, wives, you can't make your husband feel less than anything because he's not bringing nothing in.
Right.
Well, especially when you know you got a husband that works his tail to the bone and knows, like, yo, you know, so it's no need to belittle him because that's not love.
Right, that's not love, especially when you belittle him. But I think a lot of times, at least what I've experienced, I won't say I, what we've experienced just kind of with coaching couples over the last 2 years, a lot of times it's not that the ladies are belittling the man because they're not working. The last 3 years. It's not that the man has been belittling the woman has been, or the wife has been belittling the husband because they aren't working. A lot of times it's because the male or the husband is coming with their own insecurities.
That's
and when they have their own insecurities, the pride will not allow them to assume or to do certain things. Like there is, if you can't, get the job that you have hoped so and desired and have always done, then pride will say, well, I'm not going out. I'm not going to do this other job. Or I'm going to just be upset because I'm in this situation. I'm going to be depressed because I'm in this situation where the ladies are doing everything that they can to try to build them up, to encourage them. But because internally there's that level of insecurity,
right,
and that pridefulness, that the man is saying, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm just leave me alone. I'm good.
But not only that, though, even at the same time, the stigma of what have been taught to the male
for years.
It has formed a freaking, if you ask me, it's a darn curse on marriages because saying that, oh, the wife is supposed to do this, that, and the other. No! This is because you still, a lot of those individuals that have been taught to me, I still say the wrong way, have been taught that marriage is 50-50. No, marriage is never 50-50. And so when you understand love, love is not 50-50. Either I'm in
or I'm out.
Or I'm out.
Right.
So it does not matter what the percentages, if you will.
Right.
It doesn't matter because now you say, oh, the wife's supposed to cook and clean. Well, now you finna sow a discord because now she's working all day and you got laid off from your job or your job laid you off because they didn't have the funds during COVID to keep you. whatever the case may be, now you will fall into that stigma of now you just sitting your butt on the darn couch watching TV while playing video games while your wife working and making sure the kids are in school or whatever the case are doing all this stuff when you just got your, I'm sorry, I hate to be so real, but while you got your sour tail sitting on the couch, man, get your butt up and get the step, and it's your house too.
Right. And then you got the nerve to invite family members to come and stay without talking or consulting with your wife on the issue, and she's the one that's out working. No.
Right, no.
There is an opportunity for you to sit back, not be so bogged down in your insecurity and in your pride, and say, okay, what can I do that can be a benefit to my household?
Right.
And have those conversations with your wife. Have those conversations, maybe even with your kids.
Right. I remember, it's just like when you look at, man, you have to understand, you and your wife, your marriage, it's a team thing. This is not an individual sport.
Right.
It's a team thing. Because you look at it, everybody loves Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, that man scored points like crazy, but he did not win a championship until he learned how to spread the ball around.
Yeah.
When he learned how to put the whole team together to for one common goal, period. Because you're not going to win any championships or overcome any hurdles if you don't know how to be together in your movement.
Right. It's like a dance.
Right.
Like, I move, you move.
I move, you move.
Just like that.
Just like that.
It really is, you know, it's like a dance. I don't move, and if we move out of sync, then it's out of harmony.
Then we done messed the step.
Right.
Now, because now we have to now start over. And then understand where we messed up.
Right.
So that we can continue on. But see, love is what allows us to see the mess up and be able to get over it. Why? Because it bears all things.
Not only that, but love is, I think, what helps us to stay in rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, it helps us stay in sync. Come on now.
Yeah, love is what helps us to stay in sync. Love is what helps us to stay in that rhythm so that we can continue to have that liquid love that in spite of what goes on in the world, in spite of what goes on in our family, despite of all these different components that happen and take place in life, it helps us to kind of surpass those things. If we need to move to a different beat or if we need to create a different dance, love is what steps in because it's liquid. It helps us to identify what that new rhythm is. It helps us to identify what that new step is, what that new move is, what that new sound is.
Right. See, and the one thing, this just kind of fell on me because the thing is, if you just thinking that, you can buy all this big lavish stuff, but you don't have the realness of love with your spouse, you really ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
You ain't got a thing. So it's like, and if you think by me buying all this stuff or she's buying, or whoever it is, buying all this crap to try and keep someone happy in order to stay in sync, come on, you've already messed up.
Right.
Because you really ain't got nothing. You trying to fill a tank that is nowhere near.
Yeah.
So it's like now it's like, okay, what is it? So what are we going to come together and talk about? Or what we're going to come together and do in order for us to get over this hurdle to really put the weight of the world on love. What is love? Love is Christ. He says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you.
Yeah, and love covers a multitude of sin. Like,
love
is what you can, I don't want to say, and I think a lot of times people may have a hard time with loving because they don't love themselves.
I don't know. Or they love
too much of themselves.
Ooh, go on, girl.
Right? There is almost a contradiction.
It's not a contradiction. Because you don't know love because love haven't been shown to you.
Right.
Or you just got too much of yourself, of you loving yourself.
Right.
Because love is not arrogant.
Yeah.
Because if you're arrogant, you ain't loving nobody but yourself.
And when you love yourself, and
oh, you gotta use the words. You gotta use the words right. If you are cocky, it's too much.
It's too much. But then
there's a difference between confidence and cocky.
Because there is so much of you loving you that you can't see the bigger picture of loving and what that
of loving your spouse.
Somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that is in selfishness like that.
Right.
So that to me, when you say that you are that you love me some me, like I do, who is it? T.O.
That's T.O. I'm sorry. I love me some me, baby. I love me some me.
Like, I get it, but that's as selfish as a mug.
Right. You can't build a championship with that attitude.
Not only that, but you can't love somebody else with that attitude. If you love you some you, that means everything, every decision, every conversation, everything that takes place in life is about you.
I got to come at you now, baby. But I'm going to tell you, because me, that's T.O. saying, that's what I say to myself. I love me some me. She's a part of me. This is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. So when I love me some me, I want to make sure that, yo, you got everything that you need. Why? Because I'm going to make sure I got everything I need.
But, so, and that's beautiful that you said that, and I love that because that's what it should be. But I'm telling you, and you know, oftentimes
it's a continual practice.
There are people who just love them and they're selfish about them.
Right.
They will make sure that they look to the nines, to the tens, that they are sharp, that they got it all put together, and their family looking raggedy.
Yeah.
They will make sure that they are, you know, putting themselves up in this front four flash and they're looking amazing on social media like they do want to do. And when they all show up, you like, what's really going on?
Yeah, what's really going on over there?
That did not
look like your IG page.
That is different than you loving yourself enough and making sure that your wife is a part of you as one.
But that's the thing, though.
That's the difference.
Because when you look at it, when you get married, you are now, we're now one flesh. He said, and the two shall be one.
I realize that. But you shouldn't be looking head to toe, spiffity-dippity, and me and the kids looking raggedy.
And you're right. And you shouldn't be looking, what you just said, you shouldn't be looking spiffy from head to toe. And I'm looking a bum mess. And you see why I look like him. Look, she's looking suave.
Don't do that. I have on a sweatshirt with some pearls.
Right.
And that's it.
Where my gold chain? She got on pearls. Where my gold chain? That's all I'm saying.
You will not make me feel any less. I wear pearls to work out. You will not make me.
But that's the thing, though. So we have to understand that, yo, what I love is, man, how I love myself is how I love my spouse.
Right. And then, so a couple of other scripture references. We got John 13:34-35. Again, this is the English Standard Version. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another.
Right.
By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
That's good.
And then Colossians 3:14
says,
and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony.
Come on now. That's that step she was talking about.
Yeah, that's the move in sync. Like, I'm telling you, and when you realize when you're not walking in love, you realize when you're not expressing love, you realize when you are outside of that realm of love,
right?
Because it really is out of whack.
Right. Right.
Like, if you come in and you want a 10 or you want 50 because something ain't right, if you were to just exhibit that love instead of combating to go word for word, tit for tat, and just step out of yourself for a moment to show that love that you could produce by just holding them, mm-hmm. by just saying, I appreciate you so much.
By simple words.
It's just whatever it's the love.
And you know, the one thing that I have come to understand during this whole pandemic, couples' love have been challenged. When I say the love has been challenged, I'm saying that by the meaning of love have been challenged.
And here's why, because I think a lot of couples, I'm not speaking for everybody, so this is not a badger or a dash. On
chew the meat, spit out the bone.
Right.
Go for
it. So for a lot of people, we just been getting by.
Right.
For a lot of people, we just been going to and from work.
Autopilot.
Right. It really has been autopilot. Like, we have been moving like robots. It really, like, it's, and it was almost in sync. Well, the kids have this, kids have that. We come in from work, we got dinner, we got homework, we got extracurricular activities. Right. Like, it's just really been all autopilot, and we haven't had enough time, or we haven't made enough time to spend that one-on-one time with husband and wife to continue to enrich our marriage or to continue to build up the relationship that we have.
Right.
So now that you're in the house all day, 7-8 hours a day or more, well, it's 24 hours. You got to get out every day. I got to go to the grocery store. I got to do that. I got you just going because you don't. You're tired of being in your environment.
I think she's talking about me. I was gonna go to the store.
No, I wasn't. But I really wasn't.
I know. But I'm just messing.
If you're trying to just get out of that environment that you created.
Come on. How did you create that environment? You created that environment because either one, you had an offense happen. You did not know how to handle it. So instead of handling the offense, you put in all this other stuff.
Right. Or you are true to yourself.
Right.
That was one of the marriage vows that you promised during your marriage vows to be true to one another.
Yep.
True to one another for all these years. And now all of a sudden you got to face the music.
Right. Because I think that's the thing that has really put a lot of marriages on Front Street and saying, hey, this is an issue.
Right.
You're not allowing the love that you have for your spouse to actually fix this or to work it out. Because remember, love, as we just heard in Colossians, that love puts everything in harmony. It gives it a peace.
Right.
So it's being challenged. So you ask yourself, whoa, is the love, is my love actually bearing all things? Because if it's not bearing it, then now we got, because you look at it. A lot of us don't really, y'all, we're biblical because it was nobody but the grace of God that helped us to get to where we at.
Right.
But when I came to the understanding fact that love bears all things, and so if I know that me and my wife are dealing with an issue right now, how am I willing to bear this because of my love for her? My love for her, because remember, a three-cord rope can't be easily broken. And so, therefore, my love is Christ, is intertwined with us. Not intertwined, because the scripture says that we shall be one. It's in Mark. And so it said that we're one. But Christ is the center of it all. When you go and look at it, that's in the marriage vow. Because it's that completeness. It's that circle, that never-ending circle that you wear as a symbol on your finger. But what I'm saying is that when you are saying, hey, I love her so much, I am willing to bear this moment. Why? Because I said for good or for worse, for the good times, the bad times. So that means now my love to bear these issues, and how do I bear them? Now I come to her and I talk, not in a rude manner, but in a respecting and loving manner.
And not only that, how you bear them, because I'm so glad you asked that question, how do I bear them? It's, remember that you aren't in this thing by yourself.
Not by yourself, Slim.
So when you have that conversation and you're, you know, bearing, because you aren't being a footstool, you aren't being a trash can, you aren't being a doormat.
Right.
This is when you're bearing all things. That's just like when Christ went and Jesus went and he bared the cross, right?
Ooh, go
so
on,
when
girl.
He was taking on everybody's sin, he was taking on the weight of how everybody hated him. He was taking on the weight of
everything. Before and after.
So when he went and he bared and he took on every weight of everybody, he knew that it was going to be hard. He knew that there were some things that he wasn't able to bear on his own strength. So what did he do? He called on God his Father.
Yes, he did. He did. Go on, girl. Talk about
it. So when you are in this relationship, and again, remember, this is biblical.
Right.
You cannot have a successful and a loving marriage without Christ. I don't care who you are. Call me whatever you want.
That's what we stand on.
Stand on the whatever. Check me on it if you want to. I'm telling you, Christ.
Show you.
Christ, we live, we die.
Uh-huh.
And so as we're moving and we're trying to build our house and build this marriage and we don't have Christ in it, that's where we're failing.
Right.
So when we're saying bear all things, love bears all things. So when we have all this weight of everything that we have going on, everything that's being dumped on us, because we want to say so much and we want to do so much and we want to come back and we want to fight and we want to prove our case and we want to do all these things, I'm not saying that you can't do that. I'm saying to do it in love.
Mm-hmm,
so as
mm-hmm.
you are bearing all things, remember the order. So we have God the Father, we have then the man, and then we have the wife.
Mm-hmm.
So if the husband's
Jesus, God, Jesus, man, woman.
God, Jesus, man, woman.
There you go.
So if the men are in their rightful position and in their rightful role, then what happens is as they are bearing the weight of the household, as they are bearing the weight of the marriage, as they are bearing the weight of everything, remember, you can't be the priest, prophet, and king of your home if you're not laying before God.
Come on now.
So if you are in a position where you are trying to make sure that you are in a position to stay before God, to lay before God, to have that commune with him, to meditate on his word, to do all those different things, when it comes to you bearing that weight, and he says, when you come to me, you lay aside every weight. Here's how you bear aside the weight. So when you are coming and you are having all these different things that you are carrying on you, men, and you are in that rightful position and you're going and you're pleading to God for your marriage and you're going and you're interceding and you're going and you're laying before God, what happens or what should happen when you're going to the throne is you are laying aside every single one of those weights. You are laying aside every single one of those cares.
Come on.
You are asking God for the wisdom to have this conversation with your wife.
Come on.
You are asking God to pour out and to give you the grace and to give you the patience, to give you the love, to give you the strength, to give you all these different things so that as you speak, it's not coming off in wrath.
Right.
It's not coming off in anger. Mm-hmm. It's not coming off in bitterness. That's what should be happening. So if we aren't doing that, then how do we do that, Tamika?
All right.
You start. How do we do that, Eric? You start.
Good question. You
just start. God, I don't even know what it is I'm doing right now.
Right. Help me, please.
Help me.
Because the moment in helping is that you got to first recognize, because when you look at your spouse, you got to recognize, shoot, I'm talking to me. How am I going to talk to me? Am I going to talk harshly and rough to myself? No. So this is why I'm coming to you. Granted, yes, we are separate as individuals because she's woman, I'm man, but we are one because we are married. So how am I going to talk to myself? Am I going to say, hey, you know what happened yesterday? Or am I going to say, hey, man, what happened yesterday? Well, come on, which is it?
Listen, because some people don't even love themselves, God has already given us the blueprint. So the blueprint is when above every man is God, right? So above every woman is man. Above every man is God. So when you is Christ. Sorry, let me go to the scripture because I don't want to give y'all the wrong reference.
First Corinthians 11.
All right. So read that for me, babes.
I ain't there yet. And it says 1 Corinthians 11. You all have it? Okay, good. 11, I think, starting at 3. It says, says verse 3 says, but I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God.
Okay, so now do we have that clear, right? So when we understand where we stand, we understand where the roles are, we understand the alignment, we understand the chain of command. So if you are saying that you take somebody who does not love themselves, so they don't know how to communicate with themselves. And we understand that when we say that love bears all things, when we understand that love is not rude, when we understand those different things, you can't do that and have love and exhibit that love in and of yourself in your flesh.
Good.
So you have to make sure that you are going before Christ.
Mm.
You have to make sure that you are going before God.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that you are in that alignment, because I'm telling, so I know the difference between when my husband is in regular commune time with God. I know when he's not praying. I know when he's not studying. Because there's a difference in the way that he carries himself when he is continuously before God.
So wait a minute. So I'm a little bit different from everybody else, okay? So just understand that. Go ahead. Because there's actually another weight that I'm carrying.
No, but regardless of the weights that he's carrying, what I'm saying is I know that there is a difference. He moves differently. His presence is differently. How he responds is differently. How he communicates is different. Like, he is different. When you have been in the presence of the Lord Almighty and the Holy Spirit has saturated your heart, you have been and you have had an encounter with God, you cannot come out of that encounter and do the same thing that you did before your encounter.
Right, because
it's different.
There's a difference that takes place.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, even as I think it's in Joshua says, choose this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the God of your fathers, of your ancestors? But then later down, Joshua said that, but as for me and my house, that we will serve the Lord. So you have to remember, it's always a choice. You choose to speak to your spouse in a loving manner, or you choose not to. So you still have to make that choice.
Right.
Is that when you have God in the midst of it all, it makes it so much easier to make the right choice, because because he is the difference maker.
Right. He's absolutely the difference maker. So how do I do it? It really is a decision to go to God to say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing.
You choose.
I need you to help me.
Right.
I need you to give me the strength, give me the wisdom, give me the guidance that I need to be able to bear this weight for my family, to bear this weight for my household,
right,
to bear this weight for my marriage.
Right.
That's how you start.
God, I need you to help me to choose, because I need strength with it.
Right.
Amen. That's all right.
And as you continue to do that, it'll continue to get better.
Mm-hmm.
He'll continue to drop more nuggets. He'll continue to give you revelation. He'll continue to speak to you. He'll continue to give you the wisdom as you continue to go and you seek God on behalf of your marriage.
Right.
So before we move on to the next thing, one of the things that I wanted to mention, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2 says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, I have not charity, I am nothing.
Still nothing.
So know that charity represents that love. If you have all these different things, you can move and you can flow and you can prophesy. One of the things is, you know, marriage and ministry is hard. So when you have all these different things that are coming against you,
that's another
segment. You go and you prophesy and you speak and you laying hands and you healing, you doing all this stuff, and you come home and you treat your wife like trash because you have no love, you have nothing.
Oh, you come home and treat your husband like trash.
Right. You have nothing.
You got nothing.
Mm-hmm. Understand that.
Understand that. So when you talk about building your home, it starts with love. Because guess what? The scripture tells us that he is the cornerstone. So in every building, every structure that you build, you have to start with the cornerstone. And so in your marriage, as you are building your marriage, love is your cornerstone.
Right. And then the next one was respect.
Ooh, child.
So we can identify.
I
think respect is, respect is... We go back to the Bible for our blueprint, right? Mm-hmm. The Bible is our blueprint. But I think that a lot of times we have challenges with understanding and defining respect, because respect for me is different than it is respect is for Eric. Respect
the definition of respect is going to always be the same. It's how we deem what respect is. So if I say, hey, you know, it's like wifey would just go through my stuff and give it to the Salvation Army. Well, I didn't pull my stuff out. Well, I didn't think you needed it. What do you mean you didn't think I needed
it? Is that respect or is that boundary?
It's a boundary, but because of the lack of respect, you didn't pay no attention to the boundary.
I didn't come to you first to ask you. Is that where the respect lies?
But the respect, because I remember, if you respected me, you would respect the boundary.
Well, I think, too, that even in the respect, it was me coming to you first to say, hey, sweetie, we're giving away a lot of things. I notice that you don't use this. Is it okay if
that's
I give it
away? Out of respect.
That's
yes.
Out of the respect.
Yes.
Right?
So by her not coming to me, she just totally straight disrespected me and
right.
just threw it out. I'm like, hold on, champ. What,
right.
Wait a minute. What you doing?
Right.
You don't respect me enough? Because it's not going on, because you wasn't using it, I just thought you didn't need it. No, ain't no thought. Because granted, yes, because in your mind, you might not think that you disrespected me, but in my mind, you did.
Right. And that's why I said it's different.
Right. No, but we got to break it down.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. I think that's why it's so challenging, because what I may view as respect is completely different. Right. It's for men. It's love and respect. Right. It's love and respect. If I don't love you, if I don't respect you, your definition of love based off of your love language, right?
Mm.
Because we love kind of sometimes within our love language. And we may not understand or tap into that, because I'm going to love you the way that I love or that I want to be loved.
Ooh, you get into the languages. That's right. Because
And the challenge is, that might be good for me, but it's not good for him.
Right.
And so when you understand, when you understand the respect, I'm going to respect you based on maybe sometimes how I want to be respected.
You know, sometimes, because you got to look at it. And when you, all the time when you look at it, you really treat people the way you feel. Granted, if you had a rough day and you didn't deal with it on your way home, who you think gonna catch the blunt of it? The family. Instead of just being able to deal with whatever your frustration is, I either come in the house and say, hey, y'all just give me a minute. I had a long day today, so give me some time. You know what I mean? What you looking for?
So I was just reading in Ephesians 5:31. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So one of the things that I was just kind of reading through that and wanted to identify how he was saying it was a great mystery for you all to become one flesh. So that's the great mystery, but I think the great mystery in that is the love. So if we don't have the love, then it's absolutely Christ, but if we don't have the love of Christ, then there's no way we could possibly come together as one flesh. Then if we understand the reverencing, so in that verse 33, where it was basically saying, husbands, you love your wife. But he's telling the wife, you reverence, which is to honor and respect your husband.
Right. But in that, and also at the same time, it goes, that piece, I would say,
it does cross-reference.
Right. It goes both ways.
Yeah. No, it absolutely does.
Because picture like this. If God, during the beginning of creation, if God had to lay me down, put me to sleep, do the very first bone transplant, and to create an entire another being that is literally flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Because what? We are one.
Right.
And so it still comes to the point, I am talking, or I'm speaking to my, and I'm reverencing and honoring myself.
Right.
When you look at it. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, whoa. So I don't want to treat you by dishonoring you. I don't want to disrespect you, because it does nothing but shows how I feel about myself.
Right.
So how do in building this wonderful marriage, how do I respect? What does that look like for you?
So I think that there is a conversation that should be had to identify what respect looks like for you. Right? So there are, I know couples who, you don't want your spouse to curse at you. So that is a respect boundary. If you're cursing at me in those conversations, because of whatever the situation is, if you curse at me, I feel disrespected.
So then for me, I know when I'm talking to you, I'm not saying this is us, but I'm just saying. But right. If I'm having my conversation with you, then I know I'm not going to curse.
Right. That's the level of respect.
Right.
If it's when we go out in public and you say, well, honey, if I'm wrong or if I'm not saying, you know, whatever, don't belittle me. So if that's the respect request from the husband to the wife, then okay, my role is to respect that. Regardless of what it said, regardless of what it has done, I won't belittle him when we're out in public.
Right. See,
or at all. So these are the exchanges that you have to have, because what happens...
It starts with conversation.
It starts with the communication. And what happens is, and we were talking about this earlier, what happens is we have unexpected expectations.
Come on.
Of our spouses.
Hell
Of our promise partners, right? Of our purpose partners.
Purpose partners.
We call them purpose partners. So what we have is uncommunicated expectations. And when those uncommunicated expectations aren't met, we have a standard.
Right.
There's a particular standard that we have, whether it's your husband, you as husbands, you as wives. There is a level of expectation that you have. There is a standard. When that standard is not met, That is how we dictate how we're going to respect you and how we're going to respond to you.
Right.
And that's unfair because you have not communicated that expectation to your husband or to your wife.
Right. Right.
That's where the danger comes into
play. That's the danger part right there.
And even with that expectation does not give you the right to expect once it's communicated
right.
for it to be done or right. for it to be honored.
Right. Right.
It means that you might have to come into the middle.
Right.
Because remember, you married who you married. That was who you fell in love with.
Right.
Now you get into the marriage and things are looking a little shaky and all these different weights of life are coming in and you want to change. You want to change the person. Oh. God did not give us the ability to change anybody.
Right.
So that's not going to happen.
But he gave us the ability to pray.
He gave us the ability to pray. He gave us the ability to love.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to understand is when we have those uncommunicated expectations, then we are setting ourselves up for failure. And if that is how we are responding to how we are going to respect our husband and our wife, then we failed.
Wow. Oh my goodness. I would hate to have to put a pin here, but we're going to have to. So,
is it that time already?
Yeah, girl.
Jeez.
Yeah, girl. So
dang.
This thing was getting good. So, listen. Dang. This is, we got, because y'all
understand. Can I do this one scripture before we leave?
Well, go ahead.
Maybe.
Get it on that.
And maybe it kind of goes into the love and the respect. But 1 Peter 3. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of good juicy nuggets in 1 Peter 3. I'm going to do verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands.
Own
that
husband.
If any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by conversation of the wives. While they behold.
That's respect. Go ahead.
Right. That's the respect. And then I'm going to go down to verse 7. It says, likewise, ye husbands dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel.
That's respect.
And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Do we realize that when we are not respecting and honoring and loving one another, that is hindering the
prayers of God
for our marriage?
Come on now.
For our lives?
Girl, we might have to go over a little bit for this one.
Do we not understand that that is what hinders?
Right. But
We are in alignment with the Holy Spirit, in alignment with what God has for the marriages.
Come on now. Ooh, we might go over just a little.
Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto calling, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let them eschew evil
and do good.
Let them seek peace and eschew it.
Uh-huh.
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
Man.
So we're doing a tit for tat and trying to get him back because he got me and trying to go and say, well, you looking for this, so I'm going to show you this. That is evil for evil.
Evil. Come on now. Work that thing, girl.
Ooh. What did the word of God say? So if we're going and we're loving and we're honoring, we're respecting our husbands, our wives, then that is where the blessing comes.
Yes.
And I know you want your marriage to be blessed. I want our marriage to be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So why not go through the step-by-step? And it's practical.
It's very practical.
I'm not saying you're not going to get mad. Uh-uh. I'm not saying you're not going to want to not say nothing.
But
you're going to want to do all of that.
The funny thing is, I'm going to be honest with you. Have your moment. Have your moment. But you can't allow your moment to last forever.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's okay to have your moment. It's okay to fuss at the tree. It's fine. It's okay to holler at the tree. It's whatever. Have your moment. But when it's time to come back,
right,
then you want to be, you want to make sure that you're still carrying that love and respect. Because that's the first two we just did. We're going to leave the other two corners.
We're going to leave the other two corners. Oh, man. I wish you could finish that. But yeah, that love and that respect.
Oh, that's coming back, Slim. We're going to break. So, that scripture got to come back. Yeah. There's so much meat in that one for marriages till it's not even fun. You hinder. You allow, first, what happens is we allow the enemy to come in. And when we allow the enemy to come in, the enemy, the issues that I carry within me, when we allow that stuff to come out in a such a negative way, instead of us trying to render, instead of trying to render good for evil, we want to render evil for evil. So what we just did, we just caused our own self to have a setback.
Right.
Because if I'm saying, okay, God, I need your help in this matter, but if I'm still trying to get at you because you got me, then what can he really do? You're hindering yourself.
Right.
So it's like,
not
oh my
just
God.
Not yourself, but your household.
The household.
That means your children.
Oh, the promotion on your job.
Because understand that under everything in your
yes.
household is aligned to that blessing.
Yes, it is. Everything. That means increase. It's aligned to that blessing. I don't care if you're trying to get a car fixed or you're trying to buy a new house. It does not matter. It is still in line with that blessing. Oh, God. Ooh, you want to leave that thing that long. Married people, we're trying to tell you how to be blessed. But you got to get out your own way and respect and love your spouse.
And what you do is you allow the enemy to come in, set up shop, and he sit back.
Sit back. Kick his feet up and everything.
Feet up. He sit there, so he have a smoke.
And smoke in your house.
Lick his cigarette off while he's sitting there looking at y'all trying to figure this out. Well, we have the answer.
Right here.
It ain't like we don't have the answer. The blueprint is in the Word of God. So but, I just want to encourage you with the, go ahead.
Girl, that thing that was just good. But and sitting that, and so you don't want that to take place in your home. You want your prayers.
To be heard, to be honored.
Jesus.
That's where the favor lies.
Oh my God.
So when the Word of God says that he who finds a wife finds
a good thing. And obtains favor.
So you have to understand that without that favor, and you guys aren't coming into the alignment, into the blessings, like what are we doing? At that moment, we have to take a step back to say, okay, something isn't right, something off. We can admit that something is off. How do we make it better? How do we get back on track? Well,
yes.
I'm glad you asked, my friends.
Yes, how?
You get back on track by just being able to come to a point to say and be honest.
Yes.
Key. You both come together. Go individually to God, and then you come together to go before the throne.
Yes.
And say, God, we messed it up. Help us to get back on track. Help us to see what we don't see. Help us to get back into the alignment so that you can breathe over our marriage, that you can breathe over our household. God, help us to love each other. Show us what that is. Help us to die to our flesh.
Yes.
Help us to speak with love, to speak with kindness.
Help us, Lord.
Help us to love and to honor and to respect one another. Help us not to render evil for evil. Help us not to feel like we have to have the last word.
Come on now.
That's how you start.
Mm-hmm.
And as he gives you the nuggets and as the opportunities and the windows come in for you to do things differently, you make the choice at that moment to do them differently.
Right.
That's how you change it. That's how you get back on track.
My God.
Telling you, we've been there.
Been there.
Done that, and we're writing a book on it.
I'm trying to tell you.
We understand how it is, and we understand what it's like to be there and to render evil for evil
yes.
and all get back all the time and always just kind of at each other. We understand what that's like.
And then understand the blessing, how much of the blessings we kept holding up because we was acting that way.
We didn't even realize that.
But then understand, because the moment that we came into the agreement of showing love and grace and mercy versus rendering evil for evil, man, God just really began to explode upon us. And just like, yo, this is what you've been holding up because you still looking at yourself versus looking at who I am in your marriage. Wow.
Right.
Man, go ahead, take us out, baby.
So God, we thank you for each and every couple that is represented, each and every household that is represented.
God.
And we just ask, God, that you would help them as they understand where they are, as they come to you.
Mm-hmm.
I ask, God, that you would show them how to respect one another. Show them how to love one another.
Yes.
Show them the example of the love that you have for your people.
Mm-hmm.
God, overshadow them with your love.
Yes, God.
In the name of
Jesus.
Give them wisdom. Give them guidance. Give them peace. Give them patience.
Yes.
Help them to understand they don't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Help them to understand that it's about just making a decision and a choice.
Yeah.
I ask that you would restore,
the
God. Years that they might have lost, and they think that they lost, God. Restore the blessings as they come to you. Restore their newness, God. Restore everything, God, that the enemy tried to take away from them. And I ask, God, that they would be able to get the authority, understand the authority that they have with the blood of Jesus Christ, be able to walk throughout their homes, be able to go throughout their situations, their finances, and plead the blood of Jesus and understand that they have the power the blood, and hallelujah. The authority to be able to conquer anything that the enemy throws their way.
Yes.
So Satan, we bind you out of every household.
In the name
we
of
bind
Jesus.
You out of every situation.
In
the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Be glorified, God, in their marriage. Be glorified in their homes, God. Let them, God, understand what that love is.
Yes.
And to be able to freely give it to each other.
Freely. Yes, God.
In everything that they do.
Yep.
Allow them to understand what it means to bear all, God. And allow them to be able to bring that weight to you, God. And you be able to take it and to give them guidance and to give them wisdom and to give them revelation and to give them
God.
What they need to be able to get their marriage back on track and in alignment with you.
In the name of Jesus.
Allow your Holy Spirit, God, to saturate every home, to penetrate, God, every relationship, every marriage.
God.
Now in the name of
Jesus,
you be glorified.
Be glorified.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You so much for tuning
Thank
in.
Thank you for joining us. Woo!
You can find us on all of our social media threads, MarriageTakeover.com. And if you want to send us a message, please email us, marriagetakeover@gmail.com.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I'm your boy, E-Rock Nim.
I'm your girl, Tamika.
It is Marriage Takeover.
Signing off.
Thank you for tuning in to Marriage Takeover. Connect with us on Facebook at Marriage Takeover.